Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Anyhow, welcome to Streams Church. My name is Sean. I'm the lead pastor here. We are starting a new series that's going to be based on the Advent calendar. And so the candles represent every week a new highlight of what Jesus brings. So today we're going to be talking about hope. In the next couple weeks, we're going to talk about peace and love and just like all the goodness that Jesus, that all the goodness that Jesus brings. So hope, peace, love, and joy. And I don't want us to just listen to this message because I know so much Christmas is just so busy. But each week, I want you to say, how is Jesus hope in my life this week? How is Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, how is that event and what God has done, how can Jesus be a tangible representation of hope in this season? And so that's really my prayer for you, because Jesus wants to experience us in a personal way. And throughout this week, I want you to experience God's hope in a wonderful way. And I have a little story to tell you about it. A lot of us know the wreath very well, but I thought it'd be fun to share what the history of the wreath is. So maybe this will help you to remember as we go through the Advent season. So here is the history of the wreath. Johann Wercken is credited for inventing the Advent Christmas candles and the wreath in 1839. He was originally designed this wreath to be a teaching tool, believe it or not. He was born in Germany in 1808, and he was a theologian, and he devoted himself to the missionary work among the poor. He traveled throughout Germany, preaching and establishing schools and homes and rescue stations. And he dedicated his life to helping children affected by poverty. So get this, at the age of 25, he had founded a mission house, and he rescued neglected children and difficult children. And so imagine being him, so many children floating around, and the question is it Christmas yet? And so he came up with an idea to help his kids focus on the reason for Christmas. In 1839, he took a large cartwheel, and he turned it into an Advent wreath. There were four white large candles representing the four Sundays of Advent and a small red candle for the days in between leading up to Christmas Eve. The wreath was hung in the prayer hall, and the children knew exactly how many days were left until Christmas. And it was around 1860 that they added greenery and cedar branches, and this represents life and strength and healing. And the circular shape represents and symbolizes eternal life and the never-ending love of God. They also added holly, which was a thorny branch with red beads, and this symbolized the thorns that Christ took for us on the cross, as well as his blood. And then pine cones were added, symbolizing the promise of rebirth. And so every time you see a wreath, I want you to think about the hope that Jesus brings to us. And I know that this season is an interesting time. It might trigger emotions or hardships. I know this probably was not my favorite Thanksgiving. this round, you're going through life and everything's okay, but then you hit the holidays and you're reminded of the brokenness or the struggle. Most of you know that I lost my parents when I was 11 and 13. And you just wonder, like, what would it have been like if there wasn't a divorce? What if my parents did stay together? What if they were still here? Or, you know, like, I love my brother. I have an older brother and a younger sister, but my sister's in Florida, so it's hard to connect, and my brother's in Texas. But, like, I don't have a deep relationship to my brother. We get along, we're fine, but, like, what would it look like to have that brother relationship? And you're just, I don't know, it just brings up a lot of emotion. And so I know that the holidays can be hard, and this is why I really want us to dig in and to really ask ourselves, Jesus, I want you to be hope this season. I want you to be my joy this season. And I want you to be my peace this season. And so, to help you remember it, again, we talked about the wreath, but I thought I would give away a Christmas wreath right over here. So this is the time that we're going to do the drawing. So if somebody can grab that basket up here. So Martine, you want to grab that basket? So if you want to participate, you can get your tickets. Now, I know if I'm in the audience, I'm thinking to myself, I'm totally going to win this. I'm going to win this. Like, I am not one of those who's like, well, I never win anything. I always lose. Oh, we got some scrambling going on here. Okay, Martine, you're gonna pick the winner. Yeah. Yep, you got it. Now, here's the thing. If you miss the call for this, it's going to go. It's going. Like, if you don't respond to your number being drawn, I'm sorry, but there's no second chances. Boom, we're moving on to the next ticket. So here we go. You ready? Here we go. We have 140537. 140537. Oh, Joella. Okay. Well done. Give it up for Joella. All right. Now, who is automatically a little disappointed? You had your hopes were up here. Well, guess what? We have two wreaths. Oh, you're still in it. Hope is revitalized. Okay, pick another ticket. Here we go. Okay, so we have another. Did you see this little extra one here that I hid? Bum bum. Okay, so whoever wins these, you just come and grab it. Here we go. 140564. 564. Oh, Nancy and Dick, well done. Give it up. Thanks, Martine. Well done. I'm going to trust you that you have the right number. I won't check your ticket. Later. You can come later. Later. You're so excited. I just don't want you to sit with that big wreath on the... That's not comfortable. Here's the thing. A Jesus being born to earth is an extraordinary gift. It's an extraordinary reality. That here's the thing, that God offers each one of us a ticket. He offers each of us a ticket, but with God's ticket, they all win because he gave us the gift of Jesus. And so like the ticket is like the Bible. And for some of us, like you didn't know what you were getting yourself into. You're like, is this a raffle ticket? Is this a fundraiser? Are we gambling? Like what's going on, right? But there was a raffle, and you're like, yeah, sure, I'll participate. But here's the thing. God moved so much in order to bring his son to the earth. Years and years of prophecies pointing that he was the Messiah. He did miracles. He did all of this, and he says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. And look at his heart. It's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3-6. Every ticket is a winner. Everybody can receive salvation. It says, this is good news and it pleases God our Savior who wants everyone, say everyone, everyone to be saved and understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. So unfortunately, I don't have a third wreath. If everyone could get a wreath, I would. But that is the hope that God has for humanity. That he went to the cross so that everyone can find salvation. That means that you can find forgiveness for your sin and peace with God and peace within yourself. Like, that is an amazing, wonderful gift. Jesus is the greatest hope that we can do. And when we accept that gift, when we say, I don't know what this ticket's going to be for, but I'll participate. I want to cooperate with what God is doing in my life. I want to cooperate with what God is doing in my heart. And sometimes we need to encourage ourselves. We need to say, you know what? I need to spend time in God's word. Because there's people on one spectrum that like, yeah, this is an important history text. I'm going to have a copy, but it's never going to be read. It's just going to be in my bookcase. And there's others who say, you know what? This is the hope. This is where my hope comes from. Because the devil has two favorite weapons. His favorite weapons are distraction and discouragement. He wants to discourage us. He does not want us to believe and have hope. And so the opposite of hope is hopelessness. It's without hope. It's despair. I found it interesting. There was a study in 1950 by Dr. Richer. And he wanted to see what hope looks like. And so it's kind of a brutal experiment, I guess, in some ways. But he took a 5-gallon bucket and he put rats in the bucket. And at first they came and they kind of explored all around and then they were just swimming for their life. And about 15 minutes they began to sink. And right as they were sinking, he scooped up the rats, he dried them off, he gave them a break, and then he put them back in the bucket. And he wanted to see how much longer they could go. And just with that little burst of hope to where they were saved right at the last minute, do you know how long those rats swam for? They didn't swim for double, 30 minutes or an hour, but they swam for almost 60 hours just because of that burst of hope that, like, right when I'm going down, somebody's going to scoop me up. Isn't that amazing? Like, what causes us to lose hope? What causes us to fall into despair and depression? I think personally there's many reasons and a lot of different factors, but I think that hope, like a lot of us have expectations, and when things go wrong, our expectations really aren't met. But the trick is that our hopes are kind of in an economy that involves other people than ourselves. It's not just about ourselves. Like when we start out with life, we hope for a good life. We hope for a good job. We hope to be successful, right? We hope for people to love us. We hope for us to be healthy. We don't think about getting sick. We have hope that our lives will work out well. But all of these things are not necessarily in our control. So what does happen when relationships fall apart? When our loved ones pass away? What happens when our homes lose our value or relationships break up? What do we do then? How do we process that? Many things in our lives are not up to us. They're beyond our control, and we can often lose hope because of that. We have a war going on for Israel, and I continue to pray for Israel. They just released some hostages, excuse me. But there's realities outside of our control. And do you mind if we just take a pause and pray for Israel? Could we do that? Heavenly Father, I just pray for Israel, Lord. These are your chosen people, God, and we are connected in the body of faith. And so, Lord, I pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you know what's going on. We pray for those hostages. We pray for the release of all of them. We pray for their safety, and we pray that you would show up in an awesome major way. God, we pray that you would reveal your truth, that Jesus is the Messiah and he is the hope, and that people could come and find salvation, because it's really your desire that none should perish. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the realness of the Bible. I love how it doesn't shy away from challenges. And you look at David's life, and he records an interesting thing in Psalms 143, starting in verse 4. Look at this. It says, I am losing all hope. I am paralyzed with fear. Has anybody been in that situation? This is a real thing. Despair and hopelessness affects 1 out of every 10 people. 18 million people are affected every year from lack of hope. And David is in a very difficult spot. And he's saying, I haven't lost all hope, but I am losing all hope. He says in Psalms 31, he has another issue where he's just crying out to the Lord. Starting in verse 9, he says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress." Listen to these words. "Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief." I'm sorry if you've lost a loved one. I know that it is so challenging. He says, "My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. I'm scorned by all my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they run the other way." Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever felt less than, or people are lying about you? People literally hate you. They have such anger against you. Or you feel like you've lost it all. Or you're being persecuted. Here's my encouragement. David found that he can still fully trust in God. Verse 14, it says, "But." And you have to come to a spot where you pour out your heart and your emotions. But then you say, "I am trusting you, O Lord. You are my God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me." What a great prayer. Rescue me. We were just singing that. Come to my rescue. Rescue me from those who hunt me down relentlessly. We need to get to a but. Saying, you know what, Lord, I am going to trust in you. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know." Like, put your hope in knowing that I am God. Be still. Don't be restless. But just be still, saying, "Lord, I am going to trust in you." I'm here to say this. You will see the goodness of God. You will see the goodness of God. If you hold on tight to your faith, God will be faithful. And you think about Abraham. God gave Abraham the promise that he was going to have children. And that did not come to fruition in 6 months or in 1 year. It took years and years. But look at how the Bible records Abraham. He says he was fully persuaded. Even though the circumstances didn't line up to God's will, he was fully persuaded. And there are things in this book that God's word have not been accomplished yet. But I am confident and I am fully persuaded that we will see the goodness of God, that he will make all things right. Because the truth is, there is life after death. And I'm excited about that. But I know for some, maybe you're watching online, or some of that brings fear to you. Like, I am not ready to face God. Like, that could bring a sense of nervousness. What would I say if my life ended today? But for some of us who are hoping in Jesus, that's exciting. And the thing is eternal life can start today. If you're not where you want to be with God, at the end of this service, we're going to have an opportunity for you to get right with God. Say, "You know what, Lord? I'm making a mess of my life. I need you to rescue me. I need you to rescue me." Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. He says this, and I think he'd say this to us as well today. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." What a simple statement, a simple instruction. But he says this because he's the source of our hope. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also trust in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going to, if it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you." So apparently everything's not quite ready. "I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." And sometimes a lack of hope can really be felt when our eyes are on our circumstances, when our eyes are on the news and things going on in the world. But I want to point you to Paul's advice. In Colossians 3, this is such a great passage, verses 1 through 3, he says, "Hey, since you have been raised to this new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities on CNN." He doesn't say that. He said, "Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the right, at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not things on earth. For you died to this life, and your real life, what really counts, your real life is hidden with Christ in God." Guys, I get it. Living on earth, you will weather some storms. You will endure some challenges. You will encounter major disappointments and major challenges. But God says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Cry out like David says, "Rescue me. I trust you that you will make this right. And may your grace be on my life until it does." But Jesus came to be our hope. This week, I pray that you would experience God's hope. I think I would fall in major depression if I knew that life was only the short amount of time that I lived. If I died, that was it. Like that would be sad. But it's because of the realities of heaven that allow me and that influence my behavior and my days here on earth. And when you're working towards a purpose and when you're working towards a great eternity with Christ, that brings you to a whole nother level of hope. And I think for a lot of my life, I was raised in church and I really didn't encounter God. I believed in God. I knew the Bible was good, but didn't spend much time reading it. And then I graduated from high school and I just really had the wings to do whatever I wanted to. Because I wasn't going to get grounded, I wasn't going to get in trouble, and so I just lived how I wanted to, but I also went to church on Sunday. Like, that's just my life. And I remember this one time, and this is my prayer for you, that God would really encounter you in a powerful way. Or maybe just in little ways that he could show you that he's active and real in your life. But I remember leaving for college. And I think it was maybe the second year. And I came home for Christmas. And when my parents passed away, I moved in with my aunt and uncle. And they are just amazing, wonderful people. And they're really a mom and a dad to me. I call them my parents. But my aunt, my mom, it's her birthday on December 28th. And they pastored a little tiny church in Woodland Park, Colorado. Here's a little picture of it. It wasn't anything fancy. But that's the church that I grew up in high school. And I was living my life, I was doing what I wanted to, I was going to college, but one time, this Sunday morning, right after Christmas, God just got a hold of me big time. For some reason, I got up on stage and I just said something cute and was kind of poking, you know, like, "Hey, happy birthday," and kind of, you know, being a little fun with my mom, and then all of a sudden, I just began to weep. I couldn't even talk. Like, I wasn't bawling, crying, but I just began to, like, weep. And I passed the microphone, and I sat in the front row of that little church, and I don't know what was going on, but God's Spirit was so thick. I wept through the whole service, just crying. I can't still to this day remember anything that was said. And after service, I was still crying for, like, another 15, 20 minutes. It was like I cried for like a whole hour. And somebody came up and said, "Hey, when you were speaking, I just saw God's presence just like pouring down on you." And what makes this whole interesting is before that, I would have dreams of being like my life ending. I'd be shot or I'd be killed when I was young. And so I had so many of these experiences. In my mind, I thought, you know what? There's a really good chance, and I almost was convinced, that I'm going to die young. And then I wasn't even praying for it. I wasn't looking for it. But this happened, and I just saw, like, wow, I don't know what that was, but that was kind of trippy. It was kind of crazy. And I thought to myself, you know what, God? If you're doing something in my life, I began being convinced, like, you know what? My life is not going to end short. I don't know what God has for me, but I know that God is up to something. And I wish I could tell you that my life was different the next day. But I went back and I just did my own thing. And it was a couple years later I had a chance to go on a mission trip. And that's really when I began to really get things straight with God. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to be active in your life. That if you need hope, if you need joy and peace, he says, guys, I brought the Messiah, and he's real, and he's at work, and these are the end days, and he's pouring out his spirit like never before. And it's time to get in the game. It's time to say, okay, God, I need you to be my personal Lord and Savior. I need you to fill in the peace. And I'm going to be still, and I'm going to know that you're God. But this season, this Christmas, this week, I want you to show up and provide hope in my life. The worship team can come up. As we close, we're going to sing one more song. But this is really our chance to reflect and say, are there any lies that I'm believing? Just like I was believing, saying I'm nothing special, probably going to die young. Is there any lies that I'm believing? Or is there anything that I'm withholding from God? Is there any blockade that I'm putting in between me and God? Maybe it's bitterness or unforgiveness or hurt feelings. God's saying, hey, I can handle that. Give me your hurts. But Jesus came, born in a manger, so that he could bring us hope and everlasting life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hope that you are. That Jesus, you are truly a personal Lord and Savior. And I pray for the people gathered here, Lord. I know that your spirit is at work right now. Would you give people the boldness, the confidence to remove lies or things that are blocking them? And God, would you restore hope to broken people? And I pray that we would have the confidence and the boldness just to praise you. Just to praise you in the midst of difficulty. To praise you in the midst of despair. And God, I also pray for opportunities that we could be hope and light to other people. Because we know that, Jesus, you are our hope. So I just pray that we would have the courage to spread that. Invite somebody to church. Share what God's done in our life. In Jesus' name. If you want prayer, we have a prayer team right over here. Maybe something's stirring inside of you and you're saying, you know what, I need to get right with God. I need to start a relationship. I'm lacking that peace. Come find one of us. We have a little gift that we'd like to send home with you. But for right now, I just pray that you would take this time and speak to God. If you want to stay seated or stand, but we're going to pray and lead one more worship song.